This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hey, hey! I am back just in time! Just in time to talk a little football. Oh, just in time to talk about what was a strange, strange weekend. I don't even know where to begin. Oh, that's just something people say. Of course I know where to begin. You're welcome. It was a crazy, upside-down, prediction-busting, Survivor Island-capping, chark-chumming NFL weekend. Whoever was left on Survivor Island, there can't be but a handful. You don't have to worry about rationing those protein bars anymore because you are all set. There's like five people left. We'll get the updated numbers. But holy cow, did survivor pools and wallets all over the country, where you're of course legally betting, did they take a hit with week three? It was a strange one. And I am so excited to pick it all apart. Of course, it goes back to Thursday because that was the start of week three. I told you the reason I took off Thursday night was because I had to be so locked in to the start of the football weekend with the Jets and the Browns. And it was one to be locked into for sure.
No days off.
This is so too bad, Coach Belichick. I really enjoyed my time off, actually. I managed to watch a little sports. I kept up with the football and the baseball and the golf. But I also enjoyed my time with my fabulous mom. If you have not seen the pictures from our time together in Houston, well, they're on Twitter and on Facebook. In fact, I got a new profile pic, selfie time with mom. So you can check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then I put a 4-pack of pictures up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know some of you feel like I leave you out on Facebook, but they're up. They're there for your perusal. Thank you for your kind words. Yes, we were dressed in the colors of fall, if you must know. Although I don't know that it was on purpose for my mom. So I got some fun stories to tell you from my trip to Houston. What my mom and I did together for the first time in decades. That's a great story. But we got a lot to get to before we can get to anything personal. We had five teams win their first games of the NFL season. And yes, that includes you, Cleveland Browns. Be happy, Cleveland. That also includes the New York Giants, the Seattle Seahawks, the Buffalo Bills. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that game on the road in Minnesota. And on Sunday Night Football, Matt Patricia's Detroit Lions. And this one had to be sweet. Not because there's a bad relationship or because it was an unfriendly parting between Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. No, of course not. Coach Patricia talks about how Belichick is his mentor. But because of how badly the first two games had gone for the Lions, specifically the Lions defense, they were hemorrhaging points. I mean, that defense couldn't have stopped my 96-year-old grandmother a week ago. And into that world, into Detroit, comes Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the masters of exploitation. Except that it didn't go the way that a lot of people thought it might go. No, this was maybe one of the wackiest, weirdest things that you saw on the football field this weekend. The Patriots barely had a first down in the first half. Could not get out of their own way. So they really struggled offensively. Three first downs in the first half and a total 70 yards. That's it. That's all she wrote for the first half. Now, they were not so far behind that they couldn't come back. There was a turning point in the second half that really stood out to me, where I felt like the Lions took a major step forward in their process. Trust the process all over. But it felt like a major step forward for this team that is learning a new culture, new head coach, even though a lot of the assistants are the same, but learning how to win. That culture of winning, that doesn't happen overnight. And so just to recap again, in the first half, 3 first downs for the Patriots, 70 total yards, and they only possessed the ball for 8 minutes. Meanwhile, the Lions had 237 yards and had the ball for nearly 23 minutes in the first half.
It's unbelievable.
And yet they were only up by 10 points. Now raise your hand if you thought the Patriots were coming back in the second half. Uh-huh. Isaac, raise your hand. You're a Tom Brady shill. Yep. Isaac's got his hand up. Chris has got his hand up. I got my hand up because that's just what happens, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Here's the turning point, in my opinion, for this game. Matt Stafford throws an interception in the third quarter. It's early in the third quarter. And what do the Patriots do? Well, they turn right around and they get their first touchdown of the game. Didn't take them long. Barely 3.5 minutes, 52 yards. Boom. Just like that, it's 13-10. Oh, yeah, we all raised our hands. Because the Lions have looked porous. And even when they've managed to put together a good half or a couple of good possessions in a row, they usually then fall apart, wheels come off, can't maintain it. Except this time, after the Patriots score to make it 13-10, the Lions get the ball back, and instead of folding, they answer. And I mean punch, counterpunch.
Play action, roll to the right.
Wide open.
Sets, throws for the end zone. It's Jones, he's got a touchdown! Marvin Jones Jr. was indeed wide open. Had a step on Stephon Gilmore and took it in for 6.
Brady with time, floating it deep over the middle for Dorsett. Jump ball intercepted at the 20-yard line. Picked off on the play by Darius Slay.
What happened, instead of folding like a cheap tent in a really stiff breeze, the Lions come right back with a long touchdown drive. You know what that does? It gives you that confidence again. You've got the ball. Patriots do not have the ball. Tom Brady does not have the ball. You know what doesn't happen when Tom Brady doesn't have the ball? Tom Brady doesn't score. The Patriots don't score if they don't have the ball. And so the Detroit Lions get that ball back after taking a punch to the gut, and they keep it for more than 6 minutes. They go 10 plays, 75 yards, and get their touchdown right back. And then everything the Pats tried in the fourth quarter, the Lions answered. I'm telling you what, that was impressive. And it's not just about the win, though the win is, of course, the most important thing. It's about taking the punch, and even if they fell flat on their faces, getting back up before the 10 count and fighting back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So in the fourth quarter, you get the Darius Slay interception off Tom Brady. You hear both of those calls there with Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One radio network. And then the D forces a 4-and-out to slam the door. So they start the game strong and they finish the game strong. And that's a sign of a winning team. You know what else is a sign of a winning team? Going back to the season preview I wrote for CBS Sports Radio and a family of websites, I talked about how the Detroit Lions weren't going to win a thing until they figured out how to run the ball. And one of the stats that I threw at you was about how they hadn't had a 1,000-yard, or they had 1,000-yard rusher over the course of the last decade. That was Reggie Bush. One. I get that we're pass happy in the NFL. We love our quarterbacks and their gaudy numbers, but you cannot win if you do not have a run game. You don't have to use it all the time, but you have to be able to run the ball. Well, lo and behold, rookie Kerryon Johnson becomes the Lions' first 100-yard rusher since November of 2013.
Nerd alert!
You want to talk about streak busting over the weekend? Yeah, we've got the Browns. Yeah, we've got Tiger Woods. But this may be just as critical for Matt Patricia as he gets his first victory as a head coach in the NFL. The Lions finally have a 100-yard rusher again. And they end up winning 26-10. Matthew Stafford, 27 of 36, 262 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And this is sweet, of course, for one coach, Patricia.
Very proud of the players. I think they did a great job tonight. You know, give them all the credit for going out and trying to execute the plan and to go for, you know, a hard, tough football game against a great football team like the Patriots. And, you know, I think the guys really understood that they had to, you know, do a lot better here all the way around. And I think it started with the week of practice. I think we had a good week of practice. I think the guys kind of dove into it right from the start and really tried to do everything they could to learn the game plan, learn our opponent, and go from there.
I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again. We need to do everything better. Play better, coach better, execute better in all three phases of the game. So whatever one you want to bring up, it's the answer is all the same. None of it's been good enough.
The answer will be the same. The answers are all the same. None of it has been good enough. And for the Patriots, that means back-to-back losses, a 1-2 record for the first time since 2012. Now, let's not all panic at the same time, okay? You know what this reminded me of? Maybe I'll bring it up with our guest from Detroit in 25 minutes. Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal is in the Motor City and will join us. Just finished posting a couple of his columns and his thoughts from this game. But this reminds me the reaction to this Patriots loss and the back-to-back losses to first Jacksonville and now Detroit. It reminds me of that loss to Kansas City. What was it? Week 4, Monday Night Football, about 4 or 5 years ago. Forgive me for not remembering the exact year. I know I was here at CBS Sports Radio, so it was in the last 5 years. And what happens? They get stomped on Monday Night Football. And all I hear from people is that it's the end of the Tom Brady era. It's time to make a quarterback change. The O-line was so bad. There were turnovers. There were sacks. They got picked apart at Arrowhead Stadium. That was the end. People were ready to bury the Patriots. Eulogy for this incredible era in which they'd had so much success. Okay, that was 4 years ago, 2014. And what happens after that? Oh, I don't know. I think they won the Super Bowl that January. Let's not count out the Patriots just yet, okay? Can we make a deal here? Let's not bury the Pats just yet. Though, next week's game, humongous in the AFC East. Why? Because the Dolphins are 3-0. And the Dolphins will be taking on the Patriots. It's kind of nice to have games inside the AFC East that have some drama, some intrigue, some urgency to them. All right, so we're just getting started. We've got all kinds of streak busters and history over the weekend. In fact, I asked producer Chris to put up a poll specifically with the theme of streak busting. And I almost feel like we should add the Detroit Lions to it. And the fact that they got a 100-yard rusher on the field for the first time since November of 2013. Is it possible? Is it possible to add the Lions to the streak busting poll? Okay, so you want to find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I do want to know what's the wackiest, weirdest thing you saw on the football field this weekend. Because week 3 is a strange one. You can also find me on Facebook. We're just getting started. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
There's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't really know who's talking about what.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kareem Hunt motions to the right hip position of Mahomes. Hunt's already got one touchdown. He'll try a second and another easy touchdown. Kareem Hunt, touchdown, Kansas City. Like he was jogging in Loose Park on the right side of the offensive line, and I'm telling you, the Canadian doctor has come to play today. Chiefs lead 14-7. Mahomes in the pocket, peeling away, being rushed. Now peels back to his right, trying to keep the play alive. Pump faking, fires it late. It's caught in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Chris Conley with the catch, but Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. To his right is Tyreek Hill out of motion. Mahomes, slant, caught inside the 10-yard line to the 5. Sammy Watkins breaks, tackles, touchdown! Kansas City, add another to the list for Patrick Mahomes. Sets another NFL record, a 12-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes is third of the game, 13 in 3 weeks.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
I have a feeling we're going to be saying this a lot, but Patrick Mahomes sets another touchdown record. 3 weeks in, he's the only quarterback who's ever had 13 passing scores and no interceptions. So remember, last week he had 10. No other quarterback had ever had 10 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks. Now it's 13 passing TDs through 3 weeks.
Take that for data.
Uh-huh. And the Kansas City Chiefs got to play at home for the first time this season. So that's also nice. Patrick Mahomes got finally to make his debut at Arrowhead Stadium. And that's such a difficult place to play. I love that atmosphere so much. I've been there for a Big 12 championship in the past, and it was so loud I couldn't hear myself think. It was also so cold that after standing on the sidelines for the first half, I couldn't feel my feet, but that's beside the point. Arrowhead is one of those stadiums that does provide a classic home field advantage. And now the Chiefs are 3-0, and Mahomes and the offense are flying high. They've got so many weapons. It's been fantastic to watch. And they're just getting started. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll head to the Motor City, Detroit, where the Lions pick up their first victory of the Matt Patricia era. I'm using my air quotations. I'm not sure how long the era lasts. Somebody already called the Cleveland Browns win an era for Baker Mayfield. It was just over a half. Let's not get crazy, okay? It was a nice win. We'll talk about it. But one half does not an era make. Anyway, we will head to Detroit coming up in 15 minutes, and we'll try to figure out what the Patriots can do to fix some of their issues, glaring weaknesses that have shown up in these last 2 weeks, back-to-back losses. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Even as it's fun to look at what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing with Patrick Mahomes, that same game featured a devastating loss for the San Francisco 49ers. And no, I'm not referring to the L on the scoreboard. The Niners are preparing for the worst. They believe they've lost Jimmy Garoppolo to a torn ACL. And this was late in the game against the Chiefs. Garoppolo was running toward the sidelines, stepped out of what everybody calls the power zone. Essentially, he took a quick step to the left. Maybe trying to extend the play, get another yard instead of just running straight out of bounds. He does a wonky little step, and it put the wrong kind of pressure on his left knee. And right away, he went down. He grabbed that knee. And it was just that awkward non-contact step that you see, and that you see the reaction then, and you know, because it happens far too often in professional sports. It's not just in football when it happens. Basketball all the time, too. I've seen it happen right in front of me. When I played college hoops, a girl just going through a walkthrough stepped wrong in a walkthrough. She was not running. Tore her ACL just like that. It has to do with the pressure and the angle from your hip down to your knee. And sometimes that's all it takes. And so Garoppolo had already picked up a first down. He could have just run straight out of bounds, but takes this funny step, tries to avoid a hit from a defender, and his left leg buckles. And therein is a moment that changes the entire Niners season. C.J. Beathard came in to replace him at quarterback. Now, this was fourth quarter. And I don't know what the Niners will do. They're, of course, waiting confirmation with an MRI. And maybe it won't be a torn ACL. Maybe it won't be worst case scenario. But, man, to hear Kyle Shanahan talk about it after the game, it seems like they're all pretty convinced.
Anytime you lose your starting quarterback, I mean, that's, everyone. That is a big deal. And it was when we lost our starting running back, too. So obviously, feel for him personally. I know how disappointed he is.
So Garoppolo left the game on a cart after he was in the blue medical tent. He did not return. I saw a couple of reports on Twitter of different media members who were in the bowels of the stadium and happened to see his family going toward the locker room, Garoppolo's, and the looks on their faces, as you can imagine. Devastation. He finally gets a chance to start. That's the part that just rips your heart out. Finally gets a chance to start. Forget the money, because everybody makes money. At the quarterback position in the NFL, everybody makes money. But the point is, he was finally out from underneath Tom Brady's shadow. The Patriots trade him away to San Francisco. He's with a coach who is a QB whisperer, who is designing the offense around his quarterback of the present and of the future. They want to build around Jimmy Garoppolo. And just like his knee crumpled with that awkward step and he crumpled to the ground, you can crumple up whatever incredible aspirations you might have for the Niners in 2018. Could this be a situation like last year with Nick Foles? Sure. Except that was a lot later in the season. And the Philadelphia Eagles were already well on their way to a bye and to a top seed in the NFC. This is completely different. We're in week number 3. There's a long way to go. And it's hard to make progress. It's hard to build your offense without the quarterback, without your centerpiece. And so this is a major blow to the Niners, but of course, personally, to Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a special poll up because I like the theme of drought busting this weekend in sports. The Browns hadn't won in 635 days, not since Christmas Eve of 2016. Tiger Woods hadn't won a PGA tournament since August of 2013. The Detroit Lions hadn't fielded a 100-yard rusher since November of 2013. What's the biggest drought buster from the weekend? So you've got those three options. And, of course, we'll do Monday MVP coming up a little bit later on. But it's on Twitter. It's also going to be up on Facebook if it's not already, but we'll put it up there momentarily. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. There's so much more to get to. We had 5 teams that picked up their first win. We only have a handful of teams remaining that have yet to lose. That includes the Los Angeles Rams. Man, that offense looks fantastic. Also includes the Miami Dolphins. Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play on Monday night, but will we get another incredible performance from Ryan Fitzmagic? There's a lot to love about this crazy, weird, and wacky NFL season that's now not even a complete 3 weeks old. So much to get to. Thanks so much for joining us. I love to hear from you about the football season, but also about the big victory for Tiger Woods. I know a lot of you were waiting on that one, and it finally happened going into the Ryder Cup. Pretty cool setup for the Ryder Cup. Also, a little bit quirky, too, that Tiger Woods won the tournament and Phil Mickelson finished last. The two guys in their 40s who are going to be the centerpieces of the Ryder Cup for Team USA, and not because maybe they'll be the best players out there. No, but because they were captain's pick and because those are the guys that everyone knows if you're a golf fan in the United States. So Tiger finishes first, Phil finishes last. On into the Ryder Cup they go next weekend.
Carnival Golf.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Play action. Roll to the right.
Wide open.
Sets, throws for the end zone. It's Jones. He's got a touchdown. Marvin Jones Jr. was indeed wide open. Had a step on Stephon Gilmore and took it in for six.
Brady with time, floating it deep over the middle for Dorsett. Jump ball intercepted at the 20-yard line. Picked off on the play by Darius Slay.
No magic play you can call. It just comes down to execution. Throwing and catching, and then, you know, converting on third down. And if you don't have a third down, you know, good execution on first and second down, and we're just not doing a good job. I wish it's not one thing, it's everything that we need to do a better job of.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom Brady says it's not one thing. There's no magic way to fix it. It's everything. And that echoes Bill Belichick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Take our poll, the biggest drought buster of the weekend. You can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also up now on Facebook with pictures. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. And we're pleased now to welcome Mark Daniels, who's in Detroit after covering Lions-Patriots on Sunday Night Football for the Providence Journal. Mark, let's start with something simple, shall we? What were the biggest issues for the Patriots on the field Sunday night?
Man, where to start? Really, for me, it was offense. The Detroit Lions came into this game tied dead last in points allowed through the first 2 weeks. They almost gave up 50 points to the New York Jets and their rookie quarterback, and all of a sudden, the Patriots make them look like the 85 Bears. Brady and his team, they put up 10 points. They couldn't convert on third down. They couldn't rush the ball. They're still averaging under 4 yards per carry. And the problems, they're almost everywhere for the Patriots. I mean, even when the offensive line protects Brady and they do their job, no one's getting open. The Pats are desperately missing Julian Edelman. So for me, the biggest thing is just Tom Brady and how inept his group looks.
I know that Josh Gordon wasn't active tonight and maybe needs a little more time. And you mentioned Julian Edelman returning fairly soon from a suspension. Is it that easy, though? Just plug in a couple of receivers and voila, they go back to being the New England Patriots that everyone knows?
Well, it's certainly not that easy when your receiver, Julian Edelman, is over 30, coming off a knee surgery, and he hasn't played in a month. So, no, I mean, I would expect Edelman to be a little rusty. He'll make things a little bit better. But if you can't run the ball at all, it makes your offense just very, very predictable. And since the Pats can't run on first down, they're in second and long and third and long. So they really need to correct the mistakes up front and start to win in the trenches before, you know, Edelman's really going to even help them. And on Josh Gordon, I mean, that's the biggest wild card in Foxborough right now. I mean, no one has any idea if this guy's going to be on the team in a month. Never mind, you know, help them next week against the Dolphins.
This is the second straight game for the Pats in which they have lost those battles in the trenches. The Detroit Lions, as well as the Jacksonville Lions, both have had success against them. How fixable are these issues, Mark?
I would like to think they are fixable. The Pats have a great offensive line coach named Dante Scarnecchia, and their offensive line, they have a lot of veterans, and basically it's the same group from last year. So I think up front, they'll do okay in that area. What I am concerned about is the actual guys running the ball. They're relying on a first-round pick, Sony Michel. He's a rookie. He's still not averaging 4 yards a carry through the last two games. That's worrisome. The guy they wanted to be their man was Rex Burkhead, but he's been injured, and that's been kind of a common theme throughout his entire career. So we're looking at a group that hasn't been able to adequately replace Deion Lewis, who, of course, is in Tennessee. So all of a sudden, you lose your best rusher, and the guys you're relying on is, one, is injured, and two, he's a rookie. So, I mean, I don't know what the Pats are going to do. They continue to bring in running backs to work out. For example, Orleans Darkwa is someone they've had in a couple times. I wonder if they go from the outside and maybe try to get some help.
Mark Daniels is in Detroit. He was there for Patriots and Lions on Sunday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that's the offensive side of the ball. But Kerryon Johnson snaps this 4.5-year drought with the Lions in which they haven't had a 100-yard rusher. So he just gets over 100 yards. Detroit seemingly gives Matthew Stafford all day to throw when he's back there in the pocket. So what did you see on defense?
Yeah, they were terrible in the trenches. They were without their best pass rusher, Trey Flowers, who missed today's game with a concussion. He was missed desperately. They had no one who could really get pressure on Matthew Stafford. I want to say one sack and maybe only one or two quarterback hits today. He had all day to throw. And then up front, they just couldn't stop the run. It didn't matter if it was Johnson or LeGarrette Blount. It was just really, I almost want to call it pathetic that the Pats didn't force a punt until there was like 9 minutes left in the game. That's how bad they were. And when you give us a guy like Matthew Stafford all day to throw, that's not going to help you. And when you can't stop the run, it's going to set up long pass plays. For example, when Stafford hit Marvin Jones for a 33-yard touchdown,
right?
It's just a mess right now. And it's something we've seen from the defense before. Last week, through the first 4 weeks, they were god-awful. But they corrected their mistakes and eventually, you know, made it to the Super Bowl where the mistakes kind of came about again. But right now, it's the big thing with the defense is, can they fix this? And do they have the players to fix this? We'll see.
I'm glad that you brought that up because it's not like this team, the core of this team, has not been in this situation before. When they go into Kansas City and they get just completely dominated on a Monday night, it was 2014, and everybody's talking about the end of the Tom Brady era, and this is it. They finally bottomed out, and they're going to have to change everything. And then voila, of course, we know what happens. They end up with double-figure wins, another AFC East title, la, la, la. They get to the Super Bowl year after year, it feels like. So how much does it help that they have the experience in the locker room and with the coaching staff?
Well, it's huge, and they know from experience that just that, you know, these first 4 weeks, they're kind of a crapshoot. Everyone is going to struggle out of the gate, and really, you don't have a great idea of what you need to improve on until October comes. And typically, the Pats do a great job of turning the page. They say that type of thing all the time. You know, we're on to the next game, and after the Pats lost to the Chiefs in 2014, Belichick's famous quote was, "We're on to Cincinnati," and he takes that mindset seriously every single week, and I think that's good, a good thing for the Pats. They can't wallow in these last 2 weeks. They just have to, you know, get back to studying the film, improving the mistakes, and just playing a better brand of football. But when you have Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Rob Gronkowski, and then, you know, Julian Edelman's coming back, I would believe that it's something these guys believe they can do because they have the players to win football games, and, you know, they have the players to turn this thing around. You would think, you know, it's been a long time since the Pats didn't turn it around. So, but, you know, who knows? The NFL is kind of crazy these days.
Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal in Detroit after the Lions and the Patriots, and the Pats are now 1-2 on the season, which is not something you see very often. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Rob Gronkowski is the center of a report that came out earlier on Sunday that he was nearly traded during the draft to the Lions, actually. So to Matt Patricia's team, what do we know about why that didn't happen?
You know, what's crazy is that Rob Gronkowski confirmed that to me and the other members of the media today after the game.
Wow.
He said that he did threaten to retire, and because he was almost traded to the Lions, he said the reason was Tom Brady. He said, "I want to say, quote, you know, that's my Tom Brady's my quarterback. That's all. I don't want to play with anyone else." And that's the gist of it. He doesn't want to play with anyone else other than Tom Brady. Both him and Brady are tied to the Patriots for this season and next. It's really crazy. Honestly, a jaw dropper for me after the game that Gronk confirmed that story. So yeah, that happened. It's kind of nuts.
Did he imply that had it happened, the trade, that he would have retired?
Yeah, I asked him about the Schefter report, and I said that it was reported that you threatened to retire because you're almost traded to the Lions this offseason. What are your, you know, comments on that? And he said, "Yeah, it happened." So, yeah, I would guess so. He threatened to retire. He made it seem like it was about Tom Brady, though. He didn't want to, you know, play for somebody else. I don't think it had anything to do with the Lions. Honestly, I feel like he would have threatened to retire if it was the 31 other NFL teams.
Since you're a guy who covers the Patriots, obviously familiar with Matt Patricia, what does it mean to him to get his first win as a head coach against his mentor?
Right, yeah, he needed that one really bad. I mean, after the first 2 weeks, you had some people talking about, you know, Patricia already being on the hot seat, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. But for him to get a win over the Patriots, that'll certainly make people like him a little bit more, and it'll make the press a little nicer to him here in Detroit. And I think it's good for, you know, a young rookie head coach to get that first win out of the way regardless. But when it's against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, that's huge for his program. And, you know, we'll see if it'll carry over.
Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, before I let you go, urgency was one of those themes that we heard from the Patriots this week. And I don't know that they lacked urgency as much as the game was just so lopsided. But now, going into week four, they take on a division opponent, one that is 3-0 in the Dolphins. So how much more important is urgency as they're coming out of back-to-back losses?
Yeah, this is huge. It's pretty close to a must-win game as you can get in week four of any regular season. I mean, I don't remember the last time the Patriots started a season 1-3. That does not happen. I mean, typically you'll see, you know, 2-2 or 3-1. That stuff happens to the Patriots. 1-3 doesn't. And this is huge. And divisional games are very, very big. I mean, obviously the Patriots want to win the division. They want to get a bye. And you need to beat the Dolphins next week to get this thing back on track. Because if you don't, all of a sudden you have a short week because the Pats then play on Thursday night against the Colts. And the Colts are a decent team. So, you know, it's not going to get easier here on out. The Patriots have a pretty tough schedule. You know, they'll welcome in, I don't want to say Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks after that. And before you know it, Aaron Rodgers is coming in with the Packers. So, yeah, the Pats need to get this thing on track quick, and it starts with the Dolphins.
And as always, the Patriots get every other team's best shot because of the fact that they are the Patriots. All right, you need to follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Daniels PJ, which stands for Providence Journal, covers the Pats in Detroit, giving us a couple of minutes. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you. Anytime.
So the Patriots are 1-2 for the first time since 2012. And yeah, big matchup against the Miami Dolphins in week number four. You can scoff what you want about the AFC East, and for sure, until another team wins it, the Patriots are top dog in that division. They have been for as long as we can remember. It's incredible what they've done. But eventually, that will not be the case. I'm not saying this is the year. I'm only saying eventually it will happen that a different team wins that division. Is 2018 the changing of the guard? Simply a question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by GEICO with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, so here is what we have to do. We got to talk about this first victory for Tiger Woods since 2013. In the meantime, asking you to take the poll that we've got up on Twitter and Facebook. The biggest drought-busting move of the weekend, was it Tiger's win? Now, it's not a major win, by the way. Someone asked me that. No, he still hasn't won a major going back to July of 2008, but this was his first win since 2013. Then you've got the Detroit Lions with their first 100-yard rusher in the same time frame. And the Cleveland Browns, who finally win a game. The nation celebrated along with those fans on the shores of Lake Erie as they won against the Jets on Thursday night. That poll's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page. We've got some undefeated teams still standing, too. That's next on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.